When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon.
Welcome back to our chat with everyone's favorite, Catherine Edwards. This is the second part of our second chat with Catherine. At the end of this, you're going to get 6 solid hours with Catherine. So can you guys just be happy with me for a minute? We continue not just breaking down the reunion of Beverly Hills, which has come and gone, but the after effects, the aftermath of the sisters divided, Rinna, and what do we want, what is going to happen, what is likely to happen next season. Let's look ahead. So listen, here she is again. I mean, I tried to tell her, you guys would listen to 26 hours of this if that's what we did. So continue, sit back. We're having more Catherine Edwards today. Is anyone going to argue with that fact? I don't think so. Enjoy.
I don't know. What do you think? Is Dorit a loyal friend to Kyle, where she tries to speak up and let them handle it? She might have some morals, Dorit.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in the last 2 seasons, I've liked her more than before. And I didn't like the way she conducted herself in Aspen. And, you know, trying to be a loyal friend to Erica, I thought was kind of a joke, because as you can see, there's no loyalty there. Here, Dorit was the one that was there for Erica in Aspen when she was crying and having this meltdown. Where is the loyalty with Erica at BravoCon saying that Dorit and PK are going to be the next couple? Is she loyal?
Now, you know that certain, I'm not saying I don't think, but certain, you know, there's a theory going around that yes, she's loyal and she wants her on the show. And that was Erica's way of saving Dorit's job, that they're all in on it. I'm just saying, this is what's out there, that they're all in on it. And girl, you're so lucky Erica said this, and now you're interesting and this and that. And
that doesn't make you interesting, because she gets up and says that that's the next thing. And she does like a ponytail twirl and looks like a freaking idiot saying it. No, sorry.
I mean, what a sick job. You literally just have to show up and go to work and just be like, this is it's Game of Thrones. Every single person that I'm filming with, and the people over there standing with the cameras, and the people with the clipboards, the production, everybody is out to destroy me. There's not one person here who's my true friend. That's sick.
Totally. What was that one movie that Jennifer Lawrence did? The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games. It's The Hunger Games. Yeah.
The Hunger Games.
That's it. It's in honestly, the people that conduct it are really just sitting there watching them eat each other and just destroy each other. And it's, yeah. You know, I can't remember who it was. And I know it's been talked about a lot how, you know, if people really look at, you know, this network, and they look at what it does to women, the way women tear each other down, and the way they, you know, are just so nasty to each other. It's not a nice thing. It really isn't.
No. And they really don't care. They just, no. Bravo not does not care. Andy doesn't care. The producer, they don't care. They don't, I mean, like, if they did, they would just be like, man, like, it's one thing, Erica and Rin, but like when it's like a sisters and like, we just opened wounds that took like, you know, 10 years of these two not speaking to close a little bit. And we just undid that in 1 year. And like, yeah, we have to do our jobs, but at least tonight and tomorrow night is, I'm not going to sleep very well. You would at least have a minute of like, what? Ugh, we are disgusting. And then you would eventually get over it and have to do your, but there's not a beat. They're high-fiving. Let's cheers. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care. It's just the bottom line. They don't. Well, let's talk about our girl Crystal for a second.
Let's.
I like her.
I know like
she
her.
Comes across as a like a little bit of like oversensitive and drama, and you know, like you don't get it and you don't see it my way. And I think that what she's saying, I don't feel like she's fishing and trying to, you know, inject herself into things. I think she's truthful to what she's saying. And I do think that is a little bit of a generational gap. If they're going to bring someone on, it's hard because she almost needs someone else that kind of has a little bit more of her language. She's 29.
39.
No.
Yeah, 39.
I thought they said she was just turning 29, 30.
39.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Oh, that changes everything for me.
But that's still young. No, 29. I'd be like, oh my God.
I thought she said 39. This is more last year in my 20s.
30s.
I swear. Know.
Yes.
But that's not she's, that young then.
No, I mean, she's still way younger than weird. All the others.
That really like did a number on me right now. I've been thinking that she's freaking 30.
No, I mean, I'm going to look it up right now, but I'm sure. But I can tell you.
I believe.
She's 39, which is still young compared to 59. Rin, they're still 20 years. You know, Kyle's 53. Eric, you know.
How old's Dorit?
Definitely in her 40s. I think she's that's 46.
No, I don't. You know what, then? She's not such a baby. I thought they were like, they were always making it out to be like, she's so much younger than us. She's showing up in the baby doll dresses. I was like, oh, she's really young.
Dorit's 46.
Come on. Okay, that really threw me for a loop then, because sorry. Now I'm going to take some of that little, like, what I just said, that she's a generation. She's not. She's, no, sorry. That's weird.
Well, this is why, I mean, I like her. I almost feel like people are like, oh, she's going, she's boring. I still feel, I think you almost need someone like Crystal with Erica and Rinnon. You need some normalcy, for lack of a better word, in some way.
Right.
Look, I mean, people don't realize this happened in the OC. We have these people like Emily and Gina. I don't know if you are up on the OC. Like, people say they're boring. I don't think they're the most interesting, but they kept them. It's like, if you don't really
voice
rock,
of reason,
yeah, like if you don't really rock the boat sometimes and there's no real reason to get rid of you, you're not getting rid of. I think Crystal stays. I do. I think, like, you know, like, you don't look, it's like we said before, they don't want the real alcoholic. They don't want the real dark stuff. They're thrilled if you're just like semi, you know, they want you to speak up. And look, Crystal can speak up when she has to. She was going head to head with the OG.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, look.
No, I don't want her to go. I don't want her to go. Honestly, at this stage of the game, the only one who I would really want to go would be Diana. Just because I don't. Yeah.
I think that's the only person who Michael, I do think they need to bring some new blood in. I do think they're going to choose Rinna over Kathy if it comes to that. I mean, also Kathy, I don't think it's the same salary as Rinna. She's just a friend of, but she held out. The reason she's not there all season is because of money. She would not sign the contract. So when she signed it, I'm sure whatever she wanted, she didn't get, but she got a lot more than she should have as a friend of for the second season. She was like, wait, I'm Kathy Hilton. I know my net worth. Maybe she consulted with Paris. I don't know. Or her husband. Maybe she just, but she was like, wait, I am the breakout star. I am the darling of the show. Weeks were going by. They were like, she still hasn't signed. And she played the game. That's how you get them. Now you don't get them.
But wasn't it because she was doing Paris's show?
I mean, that's what she was saying, but I mean, it was kind of a little bit, she was filming a wedding, but I mean, I don't know, you know, how many shows like other people do at once. Like she could have done both. That was her thing to not in the media, but you know, it was definitely money. She wasn't signing. And so that's how it is. By now we're on episode 5 and we still don't have Kathy Hilton. That is how you get your thing signed. That's your bet. Now it doesn't work 2 seasons in a row. Once you screw over Bravo and get your money, you better enjoy it, because the next time you're going to get like a dollar for a raise. I mean, that's just how it works. Now they're not going to play games, I don't think. They're going to be like, here's your salary, whatever it is, take it or leave it, I think. Maybe a little, but she negotiated really well. I don't know what that is, but she held out. And that's why we don't see her. Truly, it was truly like she wouldn't sign the contract. Who out there has holiday travel plans? Tis the season. I'm sure you guys are about to head home and see family. And listen, I'm going to be traveling and it's all okay because I have my Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA cleared anti-nausea wristband that's been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers. Now I get all of those when I travel, motion sickness and anxiety and migraines and hangovers, but it doesn't matter because I have my Relief Band and it actually works. Forget the days of nausea pills that make you groggy and exhausted. Doesn't matter anymore. Relief Band is legitimately a band that you wear on your wrist and it gives you relief from all of the above mentioned. If you travel and don't have your Relief Band, you're making a big mistake. So if you want the band that actually works at relieving your nausea, check out Relief Band. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for Behind the Velvet Rope listeners. Go to reliefband.com and use promo code VELVET to get 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. Head to reliefband.com and use our promo code VELVET for 20% off plus free shipping.
Has anyone else started their holiday shopping? Well, for me, it's really easy because everybody's getting a gift from lululemon.com. You guys are always asking me what's my favorite brand, and it's very simple. It's lululemon.com. I wear Lululemon to work out. Of course, you guys know that, but I wear Lululemon for everything else. They have pants, jackets, shoes, shirts, sweaters. Need I go on? My latest obsession is their commissioned long sleeve shirt. It's a button down shirt. And you know, a lot of button down shirts are starchy and uncomfortable. This shirt moves, it breathes, it fits so well, and it's so freaking comfortable. So for all the men, women, and children that I'm getting gifts for this season, that's right, it's all coming from lululemon.com. So set joy in motion with the best gifts for your list this holiday season at lululemon.com. And of course, while you're there shopping for others at lululemon.com, if you want to pick up something for yourself, a belt bag, a bag, a backpack, hat, keychain, scarf, I won't tell anyone. It'll just be our little secret. Lululemon.com.
So
she had to bring her back because her first year was like gold.
Right. So whatever she was given, and she should have been the standard, she got way more. I don't think it's million, you know, I think, but whatever it should have been, it was like up there. So that's.
How could she come? This is my question for you. And I don't know. How would it be, even if like they took a break, like Rena said that Beverly Hills needs to take a break and like they really need to let sleeping dogs lie for a little bit, right? But clearly this was real. This season, I mean, what we saw last season with Erica's legal stuff is real. What we saw this season with Erica's legal stuff, with Kathy and Kyle's relationship, with, I mean, all the cease and desist letters going back and forth with Brenna and da-da-da, that's real, people.
And that, the bots and Diana, that's all real.
Right. That's real. You know, some of the other stuff that they conjured up, you know, and really made a bigger deal when it really wasn't, that is where I can say, like, the show kind of colored it. The show lent a little bit more, you know, put a little bit more, you know, gas on the fire. But where do they come back from this? How does it work at this stage of the game when, for sure, Garcelle does not like Rena or Erica? That's real.
Neither does Sutton.
That's real. Sutton, I think, will play, though. Garcelle is one that she can, she'll go on there and she'll have like surface conversations, but I don't see her really opening up the door to Rena or to Erica. I'm more of like Garcelle's type. When I'm like done and like I see you for who you are, I can make nice and, you know, have small talk and be polite, but we're never going to be friends and I'm never going to fake it like I'm your friend again.
I agree with all that. And Andy loves Garcelle. When we talk about who he loves, she's on that list. Loves. So
should be. She should be. She's great. I mean, listen, Rena should be too. She's delivered so much to that franchise. And so is Erica. Whether you like them or hate them, they just have. They've given a lot. But how, when you've got this whole section that's like goody two shoes and wonderful and, you know, and good people, and then you have the villains, and the disdain for each other is real. How do they ever come together? That's why I don't know. When you say like, it's not, the cast isn't going to change, how much time has to go by before they like reintroduce them to each other again?
Well, that's the thing where it's so stupid, because like, if you were like a Rena or an Erica, when you look at your $1 million, you should say, this is the best thing for the show to have a Kathy Hilton on. This elevates all of us. You know what I mean? Like, love her, hate her. This is a good thing for us, for our future, for our,
yeah.
That's what I don't understand. So I don't know. I mean, do we need a lot of time, or are they just able to like understand it's a new season? Look, I also think producers get involved and they'll say to, like, I still think Erica said after last season, come on guys, come on, like, come on, 4-part reunion, like, you gotta give me a break. And I think they're like, okay, yeah, you know, you're gonna have a better season and we're gonna touch upon this. I think they'll say to like a Rita and a Erica, I mean, I know for a fact they've said this to housewives like in New Jersey and New York, where it's like, you know, this season, we're not doing this. So just.
Oh, yeah, they do that. I mean, I remember when they like really badly edited the dinner scene at Tom and Erica's house. And the show, the guy called me and said, have a glass of wine when you watch it. And just trust us. Everyone's going to like you by the end of the season. And I was like, huh? I was like, okay. I didn't even know what that meant. And then I saw it, because the way they edited it, they made it out to be like, it was like, I was crazy, when the whole time I'm like, you know, saying this is between you two. They cut everything out, changed the whole story of it.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
What I don't understand though is now, like, there's been so much, and I know it just ended, but like, there's so much social media. Erica's still posting, I'm never gonna lie, I'll always tell you guys the truth. Rinna's posting, hey, let me make a statement. Rinna just posted, I want to make a statement. I will always be with the LGBTQIA community. She's posting about how she's so in the community. That's obviously a dig at Kathy. She's posting, guys, did you see that one? I'm just doing my job. I will always. So, I mean, that's where, to me, sign me up, because I know how to play the game. It's now over. Like, it's over. The check has cleared. You get a bonus for the reunion. That check has cleared. There's no more money. It's over. So now post about your daughter's modeling, you know, do dance around, do whatever. Erica could go pat the puss. Why are you posting? The season is over. And I don't think Kyle does. I think Kyle did that last post to be like, thank you. It's just a TV show, which that's, we could analyze. But I think the normal people post it and say, thank you for watching and what a season, and oh, I need a recovery. And then they move on. Like, to me, it's weird that like an Erica and a Rinna are still posting. Kathy, a little bit too. Like, you gotta just
Well, the part three just aired, and so they're reading everyone. They're trolling the comments too and reading it and probably getting,
a
little miffed again. You what? Well,
I don't know. I say that.
What did you say?
I said, like, I don't know if I would care. I would just be like, like the money is cleared. Like, I would want my job. Don't get me wrong. That I would care about. So if I thought there was some jockeying or positioning I could do on social media and producers were watching me and that might help me whether I'm going to be, I'm on the board of like, yes or no, but I don't really know. In, to be honest with you, I think if you're, it's going to help her in his case to not be posting about this, to be posting about how, I'm in a car and I'm having a burger and fries with Harry, like post about calm shit.
Well, truly, because I remember when when I did my season and at the end with the whole Munchausen thing and how Ren was trying to take Erica down. I mean, not Erica, LVP. Ren was trying to take LVP down. And I remember LVP said to me that she got a call from the show from someone at Evolution, and they got a call from Rena and from QVC saying that her sales were being affected at QVC, and could LVP say something nice to help her out? So like, just like take some of the heat off of her. And LVP was like, hell no, am I doing that? So, you know, if you think that sales, whether you're selling freaking lipstick, diapers, wigs, whatever it is, if the majority of the people hate you, if you think they're still buying your shit, no, it will be affected. So if they're trying, I agree with you, they should just shut up about it, knowing that, you know, the temperature in the water for them is not good. Yeah, maybe Rena needs to post some dancing videos.
Well, she's still doing those, but yeah, like I would just start posting. But in between all of that, she's posting about this, and she just, look, you're not just randomly waking up on, you know, a Wednesday and saying, I'm going to post about how great the LGBTQIA community is. You're doing this as a, like, and she's still saying like, you know, guys, it was just my job. And I would just post about a hamburger and then Harry driving slow and then shopping at the mall and how crowded it is. Post about Monday. So the people that are watching are like, man, it was all just an act. She's cool. She's not losing it.
No, I don't think the viewers are that easily fooled. And I don't think that they would at this stage of the game say, oh, she was just doing her job and she's just trying to make a great show. Cause if that's the case, then she still looks like a mean girl. Cause you saw Kyle crying on the sofa. You saw Kathy saying, Kyle, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. You see the turmoil with those sisters, and you know, you caused it. And Garcelle thankfully pointed out, if they want to let it go, why can't you let it go? You're not going to get cancer and die from not sharing what you're not sharing.
Everyone who listens to this podcast always tells me I have attitude, but now I also have attitude. That's right. Literally, attitude. You know, attitude, as in the sheets that are eco-friendly, they're made from 100% bamboo. Everyone who knows me knows that I have a hard time sleeping. I want sheets that are comfortable. I want sheets that are affordable. I don't want to break the bank. And look, it's also, you want to do something good for the environment, right? Attitude sheets are made without toxic chemicals, which means they use 99% less water than cotton. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, you want sheets that are comfortable? Oh my God. These are as comfortable as silk sheets. I'm one of those people that always wanted silk sheets. But listen, have you ever looked at the cost of silk sheets? I found that I sleep better at night. And listen, if you think I can do this podcast 5 days a week without a good night's sleep, this requires a lot of energy. It's not all coffee, guys. So listen, right now you can get 20% off your order plus free shipping when you visit attitude.com/velvetrope and enter promo code velvetrope. Remember, that's attitude, ETTITUDE. Order today for free shipping and 20% off your entire order at attitude.com/velvetrope and enter promo code velvetrope and you will start sleeping better today.
Yes. And even Doree leaned over, you know, where they had to do like the subtitled words where, because it was, and she's like,
you said your piece. Like, fine, whatever you think, whatever, you now said it. It's, you're not going to get the cancer. It's out. You spit it out. And she's like, you got it for this. That's your friend. You got to move on. It's like, yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something that was interesting about, oh, so you think, to your point about the viewer. So you think, let's flash forward. Rinna's back. Erica's back. Everyone's back. Even Kathy's back. You think next season, they try to do with Rinna what they try to do with Erica this season. They give her a Mother Teresa edit. She is helping out Dorit and loving Kathy. We have a whole, it's like we never saw, they say to her, come here. Hey, before we sit, because you know, you just don't get your contract. Rinna would get a call. You get a call if you're like one of the inner people. You get a call like, hey, guess what? We're actually not sending you a contract. Normally, you just don't get it if you're not coming back. But let's say Rinna's back. The producers say to her, listen, your directive, you are being saved. You will not be saved if you don't behave yourself. So she gets it. She wants her million. And Rinna, and they give her a great edit. And she is Mother Teresa. You don't think the audience will forget this? Because that's what you're saying.
Then you know what it's going to be?
And I'm okay if you're saying that.
This is the bad thing with Rinna. I don't know what her personality is on the show if she's not the villain. Nobody really likes her or notices her when she's not. When she, after the Munchausen thing in the next season, she came back with she kept everything inside. She didn't overshare. She kind of took the back seat and everyone was like, didn't even know she was there. She brought nothing to the table at all. If she's not causing trouble and stirring the pot and being, you know, Rinna, what is she? Who is she? Erica, she is very true to herself, very true to that. I believe who she puts on television is who she is. That is who she is. No two ways about it. Rinna, I think, does things for the show. I don't know now. I mean, I used to always say that this is who she is in her private life. I always said that. She does this for the show. Cause even when I was there, and this is however many years ago now, when we would talk on our private time and talk about different things, she's like a very, I mean, which is really interesting now. She was always very like kind of Zen, believed in karma, good energy, good vibrations, all that stuff. I don't see that girl anymore. I mean, if she does believe in all that stuff, then she's got to think that she's got some nasty ass karma coming back at her. Cause you don't get to like, no. And again, I said this on the last time we talked, I don't wish that on anybody. I really don't. But I cannot, you know, slice it up and serve it up any other way than what it is. And everyone saw it.
We all saw it. I mean, she is very far in. And you think if she's going around and blowing air kiss and being so sweet, you think people are going to be like, oh, please, there's evil in there and it's coming out soon.
It's going to be one season of her blowing air kisses and being sweet and boring. And then the next season, she's coming back the way she always was. If that's the case, yeah.
I don't even, you know, I mean, I can't remember how she, because your season 6, was her and Erica's first season.
No, not, that was Rinna's second.
Yeah, sorry. Erica's first, Rinna's second. Right. I can't remember how Rinna was season 5 and 6.
Season 6, I don't remember season 5, but season 6, she was Munchausen. And then when we were in Dubai, she was trying, then she had, her and Eileen were going after LVP to say that it was all LVP's fault for the Munchausen thing. And that she baited Rinna into saying this, and that Rinna was used by LVP. That's how she turned that around. Remember?
So I guess the first, so that season she was already misbehaving. So that first season, I don't remember her then from her first season.
And you know what, ironically, that season, because Kyle and LVP had some issues, and I don't know what it was about, but they were back together, right? And everyone wanted those two to be back together. And they were back together that season. And I remember when we were sitting, it was my birthday, and we were on the boat in the harbor in Dubai, and they brought up this whole thing of whether LVP was, when she said, "You're not going to bring Kyle into this." And then she said, "No," I said, "You're not going to bring Kyle into this." Like the meaning of how she said it, meaning like, you know, you're not going to bring Kyle into this, are you? Like, yes, of course you are. But, or was it, "You're not going to bring Kyle into this," meaning you wouldn't do that, right? So this was like the catch, right? And I remember I was so dead at this stage of the game. I mean, I didn't have like my stamina for the show. I was just like, what the hell? And I remember them literally like passing me like Monster in like caffeine drinks, like, drink this, because I was almost really, I could have fallen asleep at the table. And I wanted the night to be over. And I remember as we're sitting there, and they're, Eileen and Rena are going after LVP, and I'm mouthing to Kyle across the table, "Say something," because Kyle believed Rena's version. Kyle believed that LVP was trying to throw her under the bus, right? And I said to Kyle, like, I'm like mouthing to her, "Say something." And Kyle's like, no. And I don't know if they, I don't think they showed this. And I was like, why would you not, if you believe it? And then remember Kyle said, you know, we all kind of left him at the table and said, you throw me down the stairs. And I'm like the battered housewife that has to get up and say that, you know, it's not from you. Like, I can't remember what the analogy was. It was great though, in the moment, what Kyle said, like, basically like, you know, you're beating me up and then you want me to have your back. And it was honestly a little bit of that this season, like where Kyle sat there to keep the peace with Kathy after she's been beat up. And whether we saw that with Kathy or not, that's what she, honestly, I felt the same exact thing when I watched Kyle sitting there. I'm like, this is like season six, where she's just taking it, not saying anything because she wants to keep the peace, but she'd be so much better off eloquently making her point of how she doesn't want to be someone's punching bag and be done with it. But
look, Kyle is a master at the game. She's in that category of, you know, she knows what she's doing. I mean, which doesn't ingratiate her to audiences either anymore. And Kyle has fallen out.
I don't, you know what?
I mean, she's not, people don't hate her. Look, I don't think, you know what it is for me? I mean, look, I don't really know if she had, okay, she says.
They don't like her because of LVP, because they feel like she did LVP in with the dog, right?
Do you guys ever stop to ponder one of life's most important questions? Why are bald men so hot? Stanley Tucci, Tyson Beckford, Vin Diesel, Taye Diggs? Well, another question you should ponder is, why have bald men been left with subpar options when it comes to shaving their heads? Well, that is until now. I got to tell you about Freebird. Freebird has made it easy and accessible for bald men to shave their head. No more overpriced shavers that barely work. No more expensive lotions and creams and gels. Freebird has come up with a Flex Series electric shaver that has 5 rotary blades that individually flex for a closer shave. Compared to an old school razor, the Flex Series shaves 50% more hair in a single stroke for men and women. 'Tis the season and we're in the holidays, so what better to get all your bald friends or get one for yourself? And Freebird is giving our listeners an exclusive discount. Visit myfreebird.com/velvet for 20% off. That's right, myfreebird.com/velvet for 20% off today. using Talkspace to me makes me feel like I have a mental health professional with me at all times. And I freaking love that. Talkspace offers both therapy and psychiatry, and being able to reach out to my provider at any time, anywhere, makes taking care of my mental health super easy. You guys know I'm never in one place for very long, and I'm so relaxed when I'm traveling and I'm away, and knowing that I need to talk with my therapist, all I have to do is send a message from wherever I am. Look, therapy isn't easy, right? And dealing with mental health head on, it's a challenge at times, but connecting with my therapist isn't and shouldn't be. You can sign up online for Talkspace and you get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically in no more than 48 hours. How great is that? And they have thousands of licensed therapists with over 40 years experience in all specialties, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, anger management, and so on, relationship issues. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/velvet. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/velvet to get $100 off your first month. That's Talkspace.com/velvet. Yeah. And yes.
That's why. She's just like,
well, and I don't think Kathy, this whole thing with Kathy has ingratiated her to anyone. I think a lot of people are team Kyle, and they're like, the way Kathy said, now Kyle, you know, that she's, and a lot of people think that Kyle was crying profusely because she was scared for her life. That's what some people think, like, oh, that she was like, the ramifications of Kathy are going to be huge. But my whole thing is, listen, you had this already. You know, people say Kyle is like invested and she gets points on the show. That's what some people have said.
What kind of point?
Like she's like a producer of some sort. I don't think that's true.
I don't know.
But, you know, look, you started the show with your sister Kim, and that didn't exactly help your relationship. And so I understand we had COVID. I mean, Kathy came on the show, she says, because she was bored in life. She, instead of going to Capri and the south of France for that summer, she couldn't travel. And she said, sure, why not? And that has led to the world loving her. And here we are. But my whole thing is, like, I don't know if Kyle could have stopped her, but I go back to what, you know, she said, oh, this would be great. I'll get to spend time with Kathy. And, you know, they were finally back together. In what world, Kyle? How is this? Like, didn't you foresee this? This happened already with Kim. Like, how did you think this was going to be good for your relationship with your sister, where you just patched it up? This is real world. Well, how did this happen? How did she come on your show?
I don't think that Kyle, I remember thinking when I was watching part three, I don't think that Kyle knew that Erica and Rena were gunning for Kathy like they were. I think Kyle was busy hosting in Aspen. She had the Kemosabe visit. She doesn't know what's going on. You know, what did Kyle hear? Well, she said she did hear Rena order the other tequila. But, you know, again, in that instance, Kathy's a grown woman that can fight for herself. You know what I mean? If it's not Kyle's job to say, you know, Rena, don't order that tequila. I mean, come on. Let them do that out.
And by the way, like, these, I don't put anything past these listeners of Behind the Velvet Rope. Someone sent me a DM that, like, and no, I am not going back to watch to see this because I'm way too busy. But someone said, did you see that, David? The bottle of tequila was empty and there was nothing in it. And the bartender poured a fake drink and Rita pretended to drink it. And then they're saying that is not producers, that's Rina. She tried to set up Kathy. It was all a plan. She snuck like the bottle of 818. She brought in herself and put it on the thing and said, hey, just pour this when I ask you. That's what one of these lovely Behind the Velvet Rope listeners, I'm sorry, I don't remember who, because I would give you a shout out.
And honestly, I could see that. I could see it. I would say, yeah, possible. I would say 50-50. I don't know. But it's not Kyle's job to completely caretake Kathy. And if Kathy is who everyone says she is, she should be able to handle herself. And I think she can. And I do think that Kyle, when the shit had already hit the fan, I do think that Kyle should have stood up for Kathy, but I do think in the same sense, when Kyle said that Kathy came with her teeth, you know, gritting at the club, like, we're out of here, whatever. If that were me and my older sister that did that to me as a grown woman, I'd be like, the hell we are. I'm, you know, don't talk to me like that. So I get it. There's all of these things, but I don't feel like Kyle has to be, you know, vilified for any of this. You know what I mean? I don't like that she didn't stand up for her sister when they were sitting on the sofa for the reunion. She should have done that. Even if Kathy was wrong, if Kathy was dead wrong and Rena freaking played it on her phone, Kathy's saying all this shit. If I were Kyle, I would have said, well, she was probably tired. She probably had too much to drink. She was stressed. I would still have her back, even if all that came out. But they don't have that relationship.
I agree with all of that. Like, and I'm not vilifying Kyle at all. I do agree. Like, look, here's an example. Like, I have, you know, say friends, you have your inner circle of friends. Sometimes you're just like, the other night I was out with these friends, whatever. And I was like, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't like loving them. I was like, you know, like, oh, I've got so much work to do. Like, why did it look, I was mad at nobody but myself. I'm like, why did I agree to this? This is like, not this, whatever. But then like someone else, you know, like there's a scuffle over a table and then you jump to this inner circle's defense and you're like, fuck off. Cause that's how we do it in New York, Catherine. So then I jump up and I'm like, fuck you. Don't you speak to my friend like this. So it's the same thing. Like you're saying, I agree. Like, whatever it is, wrong or right, you might be pissed at your family. When it's on a public forum, you just stick up for that. So I'm not vilifying Kyle. It's just, to me, I agree, especially when these things, true or not, are so egregious. It's like, we're claiming racism and homophobia, but there's a lot of things. This is the time, and you deal with whether it's true or not, when you get home and shut
the door. Closed doors.
But these are really, really crazy allegations that are so detrimental to someone's reputation and character. You got it. That to me is, you speak up and you shut this shit down and you put these two, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, in their place. And then you go home and you analyze, well, why did you say you hate me and this, and why are you using these words? Oh, you didn't use, work all, figure out what's true and not true tomorrow, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But you show a unified front when it's your, that to me was shocking. And who knows?
And you have to assume this is not the first time that Kyle has heard that Kathy wants to take her down. I'm sure when they opened up the agency, Kathy was probably trying. I mean, I think I heard that she was trying to make sure that didn't go.
Yeah, I think there might have been. Was there lawsuits or whatever? I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
I think I heard that. That was a long time ago. And they got over it. They got past it. So you can't say like, oh, this is such shocking behavior. I've never heard this. I wouldn't have ever expected that my sister could say those things. I think you know. I think you know that's in her arsenal. And so you deal with it behind closed. But Rena made sure that she knew. And that again, to me, I really put that in the same kind of category as what she did to Denise Richards. It's like, you know, the Yolanda thing with the Munchausen, you know, she knew that everyone in that community knew that Yolanda could, you know, have little bouts, and she's talked about it of like, you know, being depressed or whatever it was. When you're really messing with real life issues, whether it's, you know, mental health, addiction, you know, sibling rivalry and like families coming apart.
And infidelity in Denise's case, which
exactly ruining a marriage.
Yes. It's the way she does it. Like when she sat there with Denise and she's like, oh, you're so angry. Like she does it in such, and that's when Denise, like the light went on and she was like,
oh, I get it.
Like, this is all
who you are.
This is who you are. And, like, Denise couldn't believe it. Denise couldn't continue because she was like, shocked. I have to like break the fourth wall. Like, we kind of agreed this wouldn't be. It was so layered that Denise couldn't even say anything because she's like, anything I say is not going to be used on the show because it's like real life. It's almost like they talked about it and agreed it wouldn't come up on the show. And here Rinna was doing exactly like, I'm ambushing you in front of the cameras. It's the same thing with Kathy, where when she was like, you know, like, it was just so, the way she did it was so smug and so
like, I got you.
Really,
I got
you. Like, yeah. When Kathy was like, you know, you ran LV, she was like, oh, I ran LVP off the show, and Erica laughs. Like, it's so like, you know, it's a smugness when these are like really serious things. Like, that's my thing of like,
right.
If Kathy, which I agree, I don't think any of this was said, but if, let's just say all of this was said, she used all these bad words. I mean, I know your point is they're not really friends, but it's still just a life human being. You would pull Kyle, Kathy aside, because I know for a fact in New York and New Jersey, things have happened. And they're like, well, this ain't going to be on the show. Now, has these things come out on the show years later? Sure. Like I told you, like the Bill Aiden affair, and there's some other things where it's like, but they would say like, we can't bring this up. Like, if Rinna, this is your friend, or even just from a human like production of this, of like, this is so dark, this can't be part of the story. Right? I mean, that's what you do if you're making a show. Like, just to your point about the Garcelle stuff and the bots, and if it is NBC, and you just, these things, I mean, I hate to break it to the people listening, like, things are hidden every day. It's just, this is how it, when it's so real, that's when it's hidden. So you would think Rinna would say, like, Kyle, I just want to let you know. And of course, we would never do this to your sister on a national platform, right? It's so evil.
So evil. That's how, I mean, and that, it, that for me is sad. And that for me makes it difficult to watch, and where I really say to myself, geez, I'm right now, I'm learning two new languages. And I think I that's an hour that I could have spent learning something. And I don't walk away from it. I walk away from it sad. Like, I walk away thinking, this is so freaking sad that this is what's on TV. And what you said, was it, oh, the guy from Sex and the City that you had on that said he blames Housewives and what was the other show?
Mario Cantone from Sex and the City.
Oh yeah, in Kardashians.
Kardashians.
On the fall of television.
All I did was ask him, I said, you know, are you a Housewives fan? And did you watch, like, are you a reality TV fan, Housewives? My question was very innocent. You could have said, no, I just don't have, just what you said, I don't have the time for that. His question could have answered anyway. Instead, he, out of nowhere, he's like, no, and I actually think it's what ruined TV. And he kept going. And I was like, okay.
I know other people that are real actors and real producers and movie makers that feel the same way about it. And I don't know. I mean, listen, you're giving the people clearly what they want. And everyone has a choice of turning on the television and watching this stuff or not, you know? And here I am. I mean, I watched it, even though I can say like, oh, I'm learning two languages right now. I still chose to turn it on. And I'm sitting here right now, you know, shooting the shit with you over it, because for me, it's more of, I think, a pop culture thing where I do find it really intriguing. And there's a part where I always say, I think I'm a very, very good judge of character. Like, I feel like I can read someone almost before they say a word. And
me too, 100%.
And I just feel like I have that sixth sense about someone. And even when I can say like, God, I was wrong about them. And then down the road, oh, no, I wasn't actually wrong. I was right. I don't know why I second guess myself. But I think that there's a part of like the psychoanalyst where you watch the show and you think you figured someone out and then they do something. But the hard part is you just wonder what they're doing for television and who they are in their real life. And maybe that's why I watch Beverly Hills differently, because I know a good amount of them privately, and then I see what's on TV and I can very clearly see what's for the show and what's real. And then when they do some shit that's so out of left field, i.e. Rena, where I'm like, wow, she's really freaking lost herself. She's gone. That's the part where I'm like, that's what intrigues me and probably has me watching, is really, I think it's the train wreck, to see the train wreck.
I agree with all of that. Like, I think for all my faults in life, I have a sixth sense. Maybe that's why I'm good at this job. Like, I can just tell. I can tell. It's just, I've always had this skill. It's nothing to do with being a lawyer or running HR departments or having a business I sold or all my life. I have always had this. I mean, I can go down the list of my flaws. This is not one of them. Got it. And I feel I'm a good judge of character. And I can tell when someone is pure and it's their intentions. And when someone says something and you're like, I will accept that, but I know in my heart, you are a fame whore. Like, you know, when someone's bullshitting you, it's not everyone has that skill, and I have it too. 100%. So it's like, yeah, I don't know what my point was with that. So my point is just, yeah. I guess, I don't know, I had another point with that of like, for me, it's like, I know like the Miami girls in New York. And so same thing, when things happen, I could say like, that's real. Or that's like, that's a setup, or you're just doing that for the TV.
But stretch, right.
But yeah, I guess it's like, my thing is, nobody, like, I don't believe in a victim. Like, everybody does what they want to do in this world. That I believe that. So when you're acting away, that's fine. Just own it. Like, you want this to happen. Like, you want this. So just admit this is who you are. You know what I mean? And so I think with Rena, and I know it's edited, I know you had these lovely conversations with her, and I'm not even coming for her. I'm just saying you've had these conversations off camera in season 6. I don't know. I think, you know, the hustler that has always wants to hustle. And I mean, I just had someone on my podcast from Dancing with the Stars, and she knows Lisa Rinna. And she's like, she was saying positive things. Like, she's taught me, like, you know, you always say yes to a job. And if something doesn't go right, you know, you just like, the job you say yes to may not be the job you want, but it will lead. Like, if you think about it, Rinna's been a hustler forever. It's just you, this is it. This is it. Melrose Place was a mild hit. You did your daytime TV. This is it. This is like, she finally, like, it could have been any vehicle, but the fact that this is the one, millions and millions, she is just in. And I think this is,
maybe it's because it's true Lisa. To who she really is, though. Maybe she's so good at it because that's who she is.
That's what I mean. I think so. I just think it comes naturally.
That's sad. I think that's how we started this whole topic, because that's sad. It's sad when you like have that realization that, you know, someone knows what they're doing, knows it's a sad situation, and still chooses to hurt someone. That's sad.
It is, but there are people like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want him in my life, personally. I don't want to be around that.
No. And look, that saying hurt people, you know, you look at like her sister, you know, she lost her sister. So like, look, I don't think that if you're hurt.
She was five when her sister died. Five.
Okay.
I'm giving no excuses. I think she's hungry. I think she's, you know, wants to be famous, and I think she just doesn't. Yeah, she's maybe missing a sensitivity chip.
How much more fame? I mean, you're infamous now. I mean, there are like Variety. I see like there are like major publications that I've seen. I don't mean like the, you know, this happened this week in all the tabloid, but I mean like major, I think it was like Variety or Vanity, I think it was right, did like an actual like case article on Rinna recently of like what's going
How
on.
How was it? Was it good or bad?
It was more towards the bad side, but it wasn't really scathing. It was just like, what's going on? I mean, she is the one everyone's talking about. Like, how much more famous? You're famous. You did it. Like, you don't need to do anything else now. I mean,
I think, you know what's really funny? I feel like the level of fame, yes, it's famous, okay? But you're getting famous from something that the majority of people, even if they watch it and they say, I'm a Housewife fan, I admit it, you know, I know it's a guilty pleasure, you know what I mean? I don't feel like most people turn on Housewives and think like, you know, I'm watching a good piece of television here. Like I'm, you know, this is, I don't know. This is like the Gong Show of the 70s or Love American Style. I mean, Love American Style was good. I don't know. I don't know what show this you could, I don't know what else there is where you'd say in real life, this is about people taking each other down and making someone so miserable that, you know,
and you're crying. Right. And you can't compare that. I mean, I know my wonderful guest Mario Cantone did, but you can't compare that to the I control. I mean, there's no mystery in the Kardashians. Kim, Khloe, Kris, when that airs, they know every word that's going to come out of. I mean, it is like, imagine the producer emails between Kris and, I mean, there's no, Kardashians is not dark and dirty. It's edited. It's, we love it. It's like the, I mean, they're the most famous family in the world. Literally.
Because then that works because they're a family, because blood is thicker than water, because in the end, and they've gone through adversity. I mean, my God, you know, Robert Kardashian, you know, all of that stuff, Bruce Jenner, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, you know, they've gone through some big freaking shit.
They stick together.
It makes you tighter. You stick together. You know what I mean? And that's another family that are survivors. I mean, back in the days of Billy Blanks, when we'd all be doing Billy Blanks together, and I remember going in there and I had a Frank Mueller watch on, and Kris Jenner said to me, like, oh, I love that watch. I want one so bad. And I'm like, I was so young. I'm like, well, you should get one. And she was just like, I can't right now. And they had moved from wherever they were living in the city out to, you know, Calabasas, when no one was living in Calabasas. It was just kind of empty, hotter than hell in the summertime. You didn't live in Calabasas. And, you know, she was managing Bruce, trying to get him signing gigs. Donnie and I would see him down at Disney World for the ESPN Disney weekend, where all these athletes would come, and Bruce was like, you know, the Olympian. And, you know, we'd hang out, and they were like just getting by, taking free Disney trips. And that family stuck together through all of it. And that's why, because it's a family. You go on a show where you're not really even friends, where you, because real friends, if one of my real friends were on that show and I knew some dirt, do you think I'm going to say that about him if it's a real friend? No. Never. They can't have real friendship on the show. It doesn't work.
Right. And I can guarantee you, if Khloe was sitting there and someone was, you know, accusing her of these things, and Kim Kardashian was sitting next to her, there would be blood. There would actually be blood on the carpet. They stick, you know, that's a sister.
And you know what? I think one of the reasons why I love New York so much is that they could go at each other and they could fight, but it wasn't in such a cutthroat way from the past seasons. Even when Bethany would have, like, her tongue was like a sword. I mean, she was so, the way she cut him, it was like, oof. But they rolled with it. They let it roll off their back. And, you know, it was funny, and they got over it quickly. That's what made New York so great. And then Jersey came, and it was the families. It was Teresa and the cousins, where she's like, I just don't want you in my life anymore. And that was hard for me.
Jersey's a mess, honey.
Yeah. And where's that element? That what makes the it a mess is because it's real. It's families.
It's real. It's going to come back. I mean, Melissa and Joe don't speak. I mean, it's the difference with Melissa and Joe and who Teresa, that's over. I'm telling you, it's not like Kathy and Kyle. They're done. They hate each other. It's just done. They're not going to, it's not reconciling. That's my honest opinion.
That's sad. That's really sad because, you know, their parents are gone. They don't have any other siblings. It's just the two of them, right?
Yep.
And those kids, those are their aunts and uncles.
And the kids are involved. And apparently next season, Teresa's daughter comes out and reveals, which is, we've all known for years, that Joe, the brother, took out his second mortgage or third mortgage on the parents' house and defaulted and lost the parents' house, which is kind of a known thing.
Wait a minute, Joe?
Allegedly, the brother. Joe Gorga, Teresa's brother. Allegedly, the rumor is took out. This is apparently what one of Teresa's daughters brings up on camera next season. Allegedly that he took out like a third mortgage or whatever it is on the parents' house and defaulted and lost the parents' house. And Teresa's now saying, you see, everyone says what they want about me, but I've been protecting this secret forever. And now you all see why it's not me, it's them. But it's really like they've all unfollowed. It's like, I really think it's over. I mean, he's already said my comedy career is going to last longer than her marriage.
If the show ended and they had 2 years of like, you know, living in when this is, and you may think differently. I think that when these franchises, when this eventually ends and there's no more cameras following them, and if nobody signs them to another TV deal and they just go back to their life in their place in privacy, people will forget about every damn one of these people.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Every one of them. And it's, you know, they didn't have 15 minutes of fame, but it's not going down in the books as like, that was like someone who gave you some award-winning performance in mind. You know, you just want to take a picture with them, you know, because they were some great person. And it's more of like the people that take a picture with like freaking Kato Caitlin. Sorry,
I think I have a picture with Kato Caitlin. I've tried to get Kato Caitlin on this very podcast, but you understand that he's on brand for this pop culture podcast, Catherine's looking at me like, okay. But I agree with everything you said. I mean, you look at like, okay, like there's the LVPs, but even that, but you look at all the other housewives, they're still out there. If some listener right now ran into one of them in the mall or something, they would scream, or the airport, they'd want the picture. But the general world, you know, that has faded for the people that are off the show. So it's going to happen to everyone.
Of course. And there'll be another reality show that comes on in the same way as that. It's like, you know, a musical artist that you love and you're screaming and you have a crush on them and you fight to get front row seats. And as soon as that person stops making music and the next Justin Bieber, whomever, comes out, now your crush is on that person and you're fighting for front row for that person. And the one that you had the crush on, you remember it fondly and all those were great times, but that's just not where you're at anymore.
I mean, listen, it's not, we have a lot of, you know, 20 something listeners, but we have a lot of listeners that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s. Even sure. Someone wrote me the other day, it's in their 70s, which I love. Wow. But so great. People have seen these things come and go. I don't know why everyone has lost sight of this, that I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. Real Housewives of every franchise will be gone one day. It'll not be anywhere on any TV show, and you can go into the archives and watch it just like you want to watch the, like I had Jack Osborne on the other day. I was talking, if it's coming up, he was like, you can't even find our episodes that readily anywhere. I'm like, that's a shame, because you are the first family of Kardashians owe their whole life to you guys, but that's another story. But I hate to break it to everyone, this is going to be gone. Gone, 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 gone. I don't know if it's tomorrow, 5 years from now, but I mean, the real world is over, and American Idol. Remember when 40 million people watched Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood? It's still on, but it's not a thing we talk about really anymore. Housewives
who,
is just
who was the curly haired kid? Who was the curly haired kid that was on
with Kelly Clarkson's? Well, he was on.
You know what I'm talking about. Right?
I know because I've interviewed him on the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, Justin Guarini.
Right. If Justin Guarini walked down the street and I saw him, I would say, like, I don't know where I know him from. I probably couldn't even place it.
I could place him, but I understand your point.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that, I mean, for sure, the LVPs, the Teresas, the Bethanys, the Renas, the Kyles. Yes, but is it to the point where someone's going to be like, oh, I love them. I love their work. Hate to tell you, no.
And to me, even if someone's saying, like, I love you, look, someone, one housewife I'm friends with says, you know, don't ask, she's like, she said it on the show, like, you know, the worst thing you can say to a housewife when you meet them is, you're my favorite. Because she's like, I'm your favorite because you want a picture and I'm standing in front of you. And you've probably said the worst things about me online. You probably really hate me, but here I am. So this is more about you and your social media than me. Because tomorrow you're going to see another housewife and that will be your favorite. I'm like, that's a very valid point.
When I did the season and Erica had called me F and see you next Tuesday for I don't know what, oh, for telling LVP that she said that she was a sniper or whatever, I remember saying I was mortified that she said that, right? Like, who, I'd never heard anyone say that about me to where I saw it with my own eyes, and I was like, what the hell. And, you know, I think Erica was ahead of the game and had bots back then. And I remember saying to LVP, like, I was like embarrassed at, like, how do I respond to something? And it's funny because I said the same thing that Garcelle said in my blog. Remember when they used to have people write whatever, like every week on the website, yes, you would have like your little thing. I remember saying, there's nothing that I could say that could make Erica look worse than she already made herself by saying this. And I remember like being upset and talking to LVP about it. And she's like, darling, don't worry about it. She said, celebrity trumps everything. No one is ever going to be mean to your face. No one is ever going to. And it was true. And whether people hated me for, you know, saying what I thought to Erica or not, no one ever said a word to my face like that, ever to this day. Even now when I do these things, and I'm sure there's people that are like, who the hell is Catherine Edwards? She doesn't know anything. She should just shut up. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like,
well, not these listeners. These listeners like you. I'm telling you, they like you more than anyone. I've gotten 8,000 DMs that are like, oh my God, she's back. And I'm like, she was always going to come back eventually, guys. It just thinks take a minute. Like,
I can't turn away from the train wreck. We have to talk about it.
But no one will be rude to your face. But I wonder, like, Lisa Rinna. Now, that's the thing. Now, first of all, Rinna's not so accessible when she's walking around. She has what you were saying. Like, she's not. And that's the thing, her versus Kathy. Kathy is from the Paris Hilton. Kathy engages. She will stand there. I mean, I've seen videos like, you know, that Paris will take a picture with every single person. If it takes 2 hours, she will literally do it.
I love that.
Until her people are like, okay, you are supposed to be at like Stern and fight, like you have to leave. Like they will literally have to drag her away. She will, Kathy, from what I've seen out in LA, is kind of the same.
I think that's probably where Paris got it from. And the funny thing is that that's why your fans love you and are endeared to you. It's the meanness and the villain and all those things. There's always going to be another mean person, another asshole, another person who says things that shocks you and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. And whether the people in the world love those people, there's always, you're never going to be the favorite villain forever. But if you're the favorite nice person, the favorite person who took time out of your day to spend a minute with someone and make them feel good, they will remember you. Because that's nice.
They will. That's nice. And that's the other thing. Like maybe, you know, my whole thing is, right, even if, you know, you're walking down and you remember it, oh, there's Rinna. Remember her from 10 years ago on Housewives. My whole thing is like, what now? Like, Look, again, maybe like you said, maybe you've made enough money and it's invested, or but like, what are you doing now? Like, what is your plan? Like, look, QVC, if you're selling stuff on there, I don't know to what the numbers were. That's like a real business, right? You're producing something, you're selling it. That is sustainable. Yeah. Like Rinna Lipkin, although someone told me it sold, like don't flatter herself, like it sold horrible. I don't know. I thought it sold well, but I don't know. I'm just making that up. But someone's like, no, someone was showing me numbers on it that it's shit and no one, and not that it's shit, but like the numbers horrible. But like, right. Like, so when this is over for Lisa, and it will be, for like, what now? Like, is there enough money? Like, do you not need to, because what is your plan? Because like Garcelle, like Cynthia Bailey from Atlanta, she's gone on to do real things. Like I said, because she hasn't acted a crazy fool. And people used to say, Cynthia is so boring. Well, now she's on E and she's hosting, like she has an actual paying job in the industry. Like Garcelle has a movie. She's now, or she's part of some TV show. It's not like on ABC, but right. Like Garcelle's employable. What is Rinna? There's no, I don't think she's employable as like, an, I
don't you think it's ironic that last year we were saying that about Erica, like what could she possibly do? She could do OnlyFans.
She can do OnlyFans. Yes.
She could make a killing doing that.
She could make a fucking killing. A killing.
She should do that.
She should do that.
Wow. I can't believe that I just thought about that.
I mean, I can believe it. You're Catherine Edwards. You think of everything. And that is why this conversation is not over. Listen, we have to look ahead to next season. So Catherine is going to be back for one final time, you guys. I mean, not one final time, forever. She's going to be back in the future. But for our Beverly Hills chat, we have just a little more to cover. We got to wrap up the reunion. And then we got to talk about Denise and Camille and Kim and everyone else that could possibly be coming back. Heather Dubrow, let's scratch below that surface a little bit. We talk about it all, and we just talk about what are the ramifications of this season and where do we go. So for one last time, Miss Catherine Edwards is coming back. Stay tuned. Is she still your favorite, guys?
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.